Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Bellisio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Bellisio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Bellisio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at BelisioFoods.com/careers.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the morning show right here on Main Street TV, where it is Wednesday already. Can you believe it?
Hump day.
It does go quickly. And we are here with yet another wonderful guest, and we are going to be talking about some great things for you all out there that will benefit probably many, many of you watching this morning. And that is a mobile unit coming to our area for VA medical services.
Yep.
Very good. Well, welcome to the show. And could you tell everybody who you are and a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Alan. I'm the Chief Public Affairs Officer for the VA down in Chillicothe. Brand new to the role, brand new to Ohio. I've been here for just under a year.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least. Army vet. I just hit my 15th year in the Army.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, yeah, I'm just here working with the VA and trying to do the best we can to get our services expanded and get the word out to as many people in southeastern and southern Ohio as possible.
Well, very good. And again, thank you for your service. You were saying that you actually came from kind of down south somewhere, right?
Absolutely. I was born and raised in Nashville. So,
are you a singer?
No, you know, it's funny. I actually get that a lot. That's always the first question.
It's like it should be in the DNA down there.
It should be.
If you're from Nashville.
No, I'm musically illiterate.
Same.
I do not sing. I do not play any instruments. I leave that to the professionals.
The good news is, if you're not that, you have plenty of people to watch that are that.
Absolutely.
In Nashville.
Yeah, there's no short pool of people that are musicians, though. That's not, if you like live music, that's definitely the place to be.
You know, my husband and I have been talking about planning a trip down to Nashville because neither one of us have ever been there. So maybe I'll have to pick your brain after the show a little bit on what to do.
I've got all the best food spots. Just be wary. People seem to not leave Nashville. So it's a tough place to leave.
It's like a black hole.
It is.
I could see that totally. Okay. So how did you end up about in Ohio?
So I was at Fort Bragg. I had just come off my fourth deployment with the Army, and I was looking for kind of a change of pace, wanting to get out of the active duty life. I have a daughter that's in Columbus, and then the job at the VA opened up, and I leapt at the chance, and I was selected. And
very good.
Fast forward a few months, and now I found myself in Columbus, and now here we are.
Super cool. And you are no stranger to the microphone, you were telling me.
No, extensive background. I used to work for Fox News in Nashville way back in the day. I was a journalist for the Army for a long time. I was on AFN radio.
Super cool.
I was in front of the camera, behind the camera, over in the Middle East a lot. So very extensive work as far as journalism goes.
Well, good. Then I'll just leave and you got this.
Okay,
right.
I'll slide this way in the middle.
No, I'm just kidding you, because we have some important things to talk about today. And, you know, I think it's so cool. We went from the threat of literally losing many of our VA facilities throughout the United States to actually the other way, which is expanding them.
Right.
And you have to be just so thrilled to talk about that.
It is incredible. Like I said, I've been at the VA for about a year now. And even now, to this point, I still get messages about, is the VA closing? Are we going to have to move our services? What happens next?
I can see that.
There's still not so much a panic from the veterans in the community, but it is on their mind.
Yes.
So to go from that and the wonderful communities that kept Chillicothe VA open and running to now, not only are we expanding our services, but now you don't even have to come to the VA. We're going to bring the VA to you.
I mean, this is like
exciting time. Yeah.
Mind blowing because we've gone from one extreme to the other. And what you're here kind of to talk about today is the medical mobile unit that the VA has actually kind of, well, did it kind of informally get introduced at the Apple Festival or was it the Cole Festival or?
So we pushed it out at OHILCO and then we pushed it out at the Apple Fest. We want it to be more seen in the community so people can start to relate to it. Not that you can miss it. If you haven't seen it, it's essentially a giant camper on steroids.
Yes.
So we want to get people familiar with seeing that in the community to know that the VA is not just sitting in Chillicothe, but we do have other locations in Portsmouth and Athens and a few others sprinkled out throughout Southern Ohio. But we want people to know that the VA care is in the community and they have access to it and we are bringing it to you.
You know, as a, you know, as an Army veteran yourself, what does the VA mean to you? And what do you feel like it means to others?
It's support, you know, in every aspect of the word. It's, we like to joke when I first got there is we would say it's not your grandpa's VA. I mean, there's no secret that the VA for a long time had kind of a negative ring to
it. Stigma, yeah.
That's no longer the case. Now it's we offer everything from clinical care to mental health services to toxic registry for burn pits and things like that, specialty care, your regular checkups, eyeglasses, dental work, literally everything.
All the whole gamut.
We offer so many services that just were not available as recently as the early 2000s, that it's just become a wealth of support. Good. That has huge. Not only that, we're also expanding to where it's not just clinical care, it's outside, it's whole health, it's things of that nature. Any way that we can help our veterans, the VA is either offering it currently or is in the works.
You know, and that is so special because there's nobody in the country that deserves, you know, to be taken care of more than our military. And, you know, it's just, no matter how you feel out there, come on, folks, you got to understand that you all need, you know, that they need care. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different facets of care and the mental health thing certainly is a big one. But, okay, so Dylan, do you have a picture of this mobile unit?
There it is.
There it is. Okay. All right, so the Chillicothe VA is coming to Jackson County. So let's talk about that. Grand opening on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Big ribbon cutting. We're really excited about that, actually. We wanted to make it as big as we could. We've got the Wellston mayor is going to be in attendance to speak. Some of our VA reps will be there. Some high-profile visitors just to witness this thing kicking off the right way.
So good. And so... not only is it super convenient to have the VA there in Chillicothe, which is about a half hour drive for all of us here, but to bring it to Jackson County is just a whole other deal. So tell us a little bit, how did this thing come to be?
So we realized that most of Ohio, Southern Ohio is rural area, and it takes some time to get to any of those outpatient clinics, whether it be Portsmouth or Athens or Marietta, depending on where you're located. So it made sense for us that, okay, well, if people are struggling to get to Chillicothe, for instance, why not just bring it to them? Why not bring the VA to them?
Makes sense.
You know, so they can get care instead of worrying about drive times and
transportation. Traffic and
exactly. A lot of our veterans struggle with that aspect of transportation.
Absolutely.
So we're kind of taking that off of the table for them, and it gives us more of a presence. And like we started with, that thought of, well, is the VA going to close? Where am I going to get care? Well, now if we're bringing it to you, it's kind of clear we're not going anywhere.
Correct.
We're doing what we can to be a staple of the community. And when we were looking at the map of what areas we felt would be most beneficial to this initiative, Wellston was close to the top of the list. Jackson County, Vinton County, close to the top of the list. And we have a lot of our employees that are familiar with the area. So we thought this is the best place to start with the intention that we're not stopping at Jackson and Vinton counties. The goal is to spread out. We have a 17 county catchment area and a lot of that is rural and a lot of that have massive drive times to see care. So we're doing those early steps to make sure that we hit as many communities as possible with this initiative.
This is so, so good. And so how did we go from VA going to close to mobile unit coming to the area? How did that happen?
I think that's on the backs of the community. It's solely the way the community responded when the news came out.
Ooh, that we were going did to they close. Ever?
Yeah, they absolutely did. if not for that, I don't know what the future state of the Chillicothe VA would have been. But I know because of that community support, that's the biggest factor of it. That's where it all starts from. And from there, we realized we do have a need in the area, not just here at home in Chillicothe, but throughout Southern Ohio. So it just kind of grew from there.
I think that is so wonderful. And thank goodness for you all out there and doing this hard work. Okay, so let's talk about the mobile unit itself. Can you kind of describe everybody? I mean, we have a picture kind of the front of it, but...
Big bus.
Let's do a tour.
Big bus. no, so it's what you would typically see in a giant RV.
Just so like a tour bus. Kind of
like
thing.
A tour bus, just with a few tweaks. You know, we have a wheelchair ramp. That's for starters. So makes that's helpful. Sense. When you go up into the mobile medical unit, there's it's sort of set up like a clinic. You have some exam tables. You have workstations for our nurses or whoever may be working it. So imagine stepping into a doctor's office on wheels, essentially.
Okay. Yeah. Great. And, you know, you see a lot of these with mobile mammographies or whatever. So this is just kind of the same deal, but with the VA. So very, very cool.
And we're also looking at expanding into exactly that. So right now it's just for primary care, vaccines, your blood work, labs, immunizations, that sort of thing. But with the thought of we have the opportunity once we get it established in the community to partner with, say, the Red Cross to do blood drives or partner with partners to do flu, big pushes for flu vaccines or mammograms or things like that. So those things are definitely on the table. Right now, we're just trying to get it established.
Yeah.
And then we're going to expand.
Very, very good. Okay. So this sucker, somebody's going to get in this big old thing and drive it down to Wellston.
Yep.
To the depot on Monday. And that will be kind of the grand opening.
Yes, we're so we'll have it parked at the depot. We're gonna have, like I said, we'll have the mayor there, a couple of guest speakers, a big ribbon cutting. I've got a pair of scissors that are like this big for the big ribbon cutting. We're gonna have refreshments. We've partnered with our local veteran service organizations to provide drinks and chips and candies and cookies and things like that. We know
we're all easily bribed by food.
Oh, we're all food motivated, right? So it's completely open to the community. There's a lot of space there for anybody that hasn't been to the depot. There's plenty of space. So we would encourage everybody to come by and at least see the mobile medical unit so you know where it's at. Maybe you're not a veteran, but you know a veteran or you have veterans in the family. That way you can at least point people in the right direction.
Very good.
We want to make it as big as possible.
Love, love that. And this is just such a matter of convenience for so many people. Yeah, even if you live in Jackson or Oak Hill or whatever, it's a lot easier to drive to Wellston than to drive to Portsmouth or wherever. So, okay, so tell us, how can you, you know, take advantage of this mobile unit?
So if a few ways, if you are... I'll start with those that aren't currently enrolled.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of veterans that do not do services with the VA. So we want to speak to those first and foremost. You can get enrolled at the mobile unit. We will have enrollment and eligibility there. So
super cool.
You can come on site and you can immediately start seeing services.
Okay.
As long as you're eligible, of course. And we can speak to the eligibility portion in a moment. So there's that part of it. The other side of it. They prefer appointments, but we are taking walk-ins as well.
Okay.
So if you happen to be in the area and want to get checked up on something, you have that ability. And if you have questions or want to schedule an appointment, just call your PAC team. The extension for that is 15575, which is in the flyer. Okay. With the regular Chillicothe VA number, the 1141 number, but that extension will get you to scheduling.
Okay.
So you have a lot of different ways you can get engaged. Also, if you're not following us on Facebook, we have a great social media team that responds fairly quickly to direct messages and things of that nature. And we put out a lot of information over social media as well.
Well, very good. And so you have many, many different ways to contact and get hold of who you need to. Dylan, if you wanted to put up the phone number, did you get that? Did you catch that?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. With the extension 15575. Okay. Very good. We can put that up there for everybody to see as well.
So, absolutely. That sounds great.
Yeah. All right. So who is eligible to get set up with a VA?
So there is a long list of eligibility criteria that I will not dive into that because those eligibility
folks,
that's
a whole other show.
That's a whole other bag of cats. But what I will say is for those that have attempted to enroll and have been denied for whatever reason, the VA has recently released two major pieces of legislation that opens up enrollment for tens of thousands of veterans across the country.
Sweet.
And from what we've seen, roughly 8,000 in Ohio alone, or Southern Ohio alone, that were previously not eligible are now eligible through what's called the PACT Act and the Compact Act. So if you have been previously denied, you may want to consider reapplying because you may very well be eligible now.
You know, and this is the perfect opportunity to do that. And,
absolutely.
You know, just come and will there be people there to talk to about mm-hmm. that situation?
Absolutely.
On Monday or any other time?
Yeah, anytime we're open. The goal right now is to have it open at that location every Monday. Now, there are holidays, of course, that fall on Monday, so it's difficult to open the clinic on a holiday. We're not just going to abandon that week. We're pushing that to Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So any federal holiday, we'll just push to Tuesday with the eventual goal of being there at the depot Mondays and Tuesdays moving forward. So you're going to get 2 days a week that you can show up. Eligibility enrollment will be there to answer questions and help as much as possible.
Yeah, because I know I've spoken with you know people that have been frustrated in the past because you know for whatever reason they weren't able to you know reap the benefits of the veteran services. So this would be a great time to, as you said, there's new legislation passed to go and talk with someone and
absolutely.
Maybe you qualify now. And
absolutely.
If you don't, what are you out? You know, couple minutes.
Yeah, let us tell you no. Don't tell yourself no, essentially, is what I tell people. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So who is a great candidate for, you know, taking advantage of this mobile unit?
Are you a veteran? That's it. That's really what it comes down to. We're focusing on Jackson and Vinton counties for now. We understand it takes a lot of effort to get out to Chillicothe. So if you're somebody that is in the Jackson County or Vinton County areas that either is or is not enrolled in VA care, this is for you. If you have regular checkups, if you need lab work done, if you want a flu shot.
Well, I was going to say,
we have those abilities.
I mean, there's just a lot of folks that even if you don't need, you know, monthly care or whatever, you need that like yearly lab work and you need to get your flu shot and your COVID vaccines and all of the junk that, you know, goes around in the community that we all need to protect ourselves from. So, you know, you could take advantage of it that way as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not have to drive.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Okay. So what will be, besides just kind of general care with the routine labs and vaccines and all that stuff, and the enrollment, are there any other, things that people would be able to benefit from by coming to this mobile unit?
So aside from the shortened drive times, right now we're mainly focusing on primary care aspect of it. We haven't really expanded services because we've never done this before.
Yeah, I mean, it's new to everybody,
It's a brand new thing. So the eventual goal is to expand more services as we get more established. But for right now, it's just those primary care functions.
Okay, and that's a lot, though.
Yeah, it's extensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and so let's talk for a minute about the grand opening once again. And is I assume the whole public's invited?
Oh, yeah, it's
Come
open
see
to everybody.
This thing. It's going to be cool.
If we could
bring the kids to
absolutely.
Like, visit it.
If we could pack 30,000 people on that property, I would be willing to do it. So, yeah, it's open to everybody.
And it's going to be this coming Monday.
Mm-hmm. At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. at the Depot in Wellston. If you don't know where that is, it is, I don't know the exact address, but it's right beside Pride Park there.
Yep. South Railroad Avenue.
South Railroad Avenue in Wellston. Listen, Wellston isn't that big. Drive around till you see the big green bus.
You cannot miss it.
You can't miss the green bus. Yeah, absolutely. And there will be lots and lots of folks there talking about this, that, and the other. And you all right? Okay. All right. We were having a little bit of technical difficulties this morning, so when Dylan moves, I get a little bit worried. But no, there's going to be all kind of fun people there to talk to. There are will be refreshments. Yeah. Our guest yesterday was having a meeting, and they were going to have pizza, and I was like, man, cool.
That's the way to do it.
When you have refreshments, man, it's good. Mm-hmm. Everybody's all in.
That's always the case. We have retirement parties at the VA.
Yes.
You'll put out the email, hey, so-and-so is retiring, and always at the bottom, refreshments provided. That's refreshments. How you know. That's how you know you're going to get at least a little bit of a turnout.
That's exactly right, because we're all, we're all suckers for some good food. So why was Wellston chosen?
Familiarity, mostly.
Okay.
We have a handful of VA employees that are from the area. They've lived in the area for a long time. And if anybody that has been in Southern Ohio for any amount of time knows that it's a very small, tight-knit community all throughout Southern Ohio. So people don't typically leave, which nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
People love their community. I completely understand that. But we have a handful of people that born in Wellston, grew up in Wellston, continues to thrive in Wellston. So for us, as we branch into something new, it's nice to have the familiarity of we know the people here, we know the locations, we know where we should be. So having that familiarity with the location was crucial.
Very good. And you mentioned Vinton County. Now, will the mobile unit be going to Vinton County as well, or would that just be more convenient for folks from Vinton County to come to the Wellston area?
Yeah, more so convenience for Vinton County to come to Wellston.
Okay. All right. So kind of this Wellston thing is a centralized location for both Jackson and Wellston, or Jackson and Vinton counties coming together, and that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Right, kind of right in the middle.
Absolutely.
If you will. All right. Well, very good. So what else would you like our viewers to know, you know, while you're here? I would love to talk to you a little bit about the VA and kind of the expansion of services. I don't know whether, you know, you have time to talk about that or not, because I think it's so good that we went from having this thing literally almost pulled out from underneath us to now all of a sudden we're expanding
everything. So I can tell you the biggest expansion right now is our mental health services, as well as our whole health services. So we went from the possibility of closure to now doing Tai Chi for our veterans. Equine therapy, you know, things that you would never really consider or think about that the VA would be doing, because you think, okay, I'm going to go in and get my blood pressure checked and go on about my way. But that's not the case. We have so many new services that it would take a while to list them all that we're offering to all of our veterans. And we are currently in the process of essentially turning our Chillicothe campus into an event space. We recently put in a brand new disc golf course that is open to the public. We have a big Veterans Day festival coming up in November. It's a big chili cook-off and military static displays, live music, and that sort of thing. We're getting away from the idea of doing ceremonies for things and more festivals, because we all know that Southern Ohio loves its festival scene. So,
oh, heck yeah.
We're adjusting to
again,
that.
Again, food involved.
Food also involved. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm seeing this constant theme here going
We're
on.
Starting to figure things out a little bit. But not only that, we have we've started a new slogan of A Century of Care, because come June 1st, we have officially been established for 100 years.
Wow.
So we're doing a big blow-up ceremony for anybody that has participated in our Veterans Appreciation Night. It is going to be in conjunction with that, but we're talking about an entire week after Memorial Day of festivities and walk-through museums, Mace House tours, employee and veteran appreciation, a big blowout party on Saturday, June 1st. So we've got a lot of big things shaking over at the VA.
And you guys, so that's a, you know, it seems like such a far way off, but planning events like this takes a year to plan. So that is so commendable to all of you for doing that. So I would have to think that the mental health services are something that, I don't know, was it not as readily available before, or just not talked about as much?
I think it was more the second side of it. You know, mental health has long had this stigma.
There's only one good thing that came out of COVID, and that's people talking about mental health. I've said this for
absolutely
forever, is people, you know, actually talking.
Mm-hmm. So they've released new legislation for the Compact Act, which directly speaks to mental health services. So now, whether you are enrolled or not enrolled, any veteran nationwide, if you are having an emergent crisis, you can seek VA care.
Okay.
Enrolled or not, doesn't matter. If you are having an emergent issue, you can call our hotline 988. That's nationwide, and we can get you in for mental health services.
That's amazing.
So that is huge. You know, the stigma of the 22 a day, one is too many, that sort of thing. The VA is getting in front of that. I think
so good.
This is the first step in many, but we're also partnering with our veteran service organizations to essentially host Therapy Without Therapy.
Okay.
We've done this once already. This is a brand new program to the VA. I haven't seen it anywhere else. But we've partnered with First Capital Rock 22, a local veteran organization, and they're doing veteran retreat weekends. So essentially, they get small intimate groups of about 10 to 15 veterans that sign up for this service or this program, I should say, and essentially go camping for the weekend together. Food is provided. It's at no cost to the veteran.
Food again.
And of course. It's at no cost to the veteran, but they set up activities. It's all about fellowship. It's camping. You sleep there with the veterans. And it's all about that fellowship and connectivity to try and get in front of those mental health issues. We have veterans that don't speak to anybody. They don't get out of the house. So this is a perfect opportunity to get back around the type of people that you know and served with to help, again, produce that Therapy Without Therapy.
That is so wonderful. And, you know, as being someone that served in the military yourself, mm-hmm. I what does that mean? Like, because I feel like sometimes, you know, you go out and you serve your country and you serve with a group of folks, and then you come home and then you're supposed to just go about your daily life. What, and sometimes that would be hard to either move on or, just to exist in day to day.
Absolutely. I've deployed 4 times, in the past 15 years, and
you look like you're 12. How is that?
I appreciate
that. Do you hear that? I'm like, he's talking about that. I'm like, what?
that's going to come in handy later in life, I think. But no, so 4 deployments over 15 years, and I'm not going to downplay deployment. Deployment is definitely difficult for regardless of what your experience was. Sure. Anytime you deploy to a combat zone, it's tough. But I've always said, at least for me personally, coming back is so much more difficult because you have to then again adjust to what they would consider a normal way of life, but it's never going to be that. It's a new normal. And that's something that, and not to discourage civilians from being interactive, but your regular civilians that are not veterans, they don't understand that side of it.
Correct.
For the most part. So being able to speak with and just interact with fellow veterans that have gone through that when you may not have that camaraderie in your normal day-to-day life is absolutely crucial. It's paramount for your mental health. It allows people to kind of let down their guard and just be themselves and not have to be scared of who they are, of what they've experienced. And we found that that is absolutely crucial for our veterans.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because I think it's very important for people to understand that, you know, you do probably, I haven't, you know, been in the military, but I would have to think that you would feel kind of alone. You know, you go over, you're told, you know, everything's planned for you mm-hmm. and you know, you're this human.
Right.
While you're over there, you come back home, you're thrown to the wolves. You're supposed to just go about your day to day. And yeah, I feel like that would be really tough.
Yeah, it can be a daunting task. And some people take it a little bit easier than others. Again, it's every experience is different. But what we have found that regardless of your experience, that camaraderie you experience as a team in the military, regardless of branch or service.
Sure.
That camaraderie is extremely important.
So you mentioned it. Is that a thing? Like, oh, I was in the Army and I'm not going on a retreat with guys from the Marines or the Navy or whatever. Is that a thing?
So you would think it would be to an extent, but
I don't like Marines or I don't like it.
I'll say the jokes definitely fly. The ribbing definitely takes place, but
I'm sure.
That is all a part of it. Yeah. So once you get there, for those veteran retreat weekends, it's immediately they start just jabbing each other with those. And that'll
but
never
you know
go
that's
away.
Coming, right?
Of course. We all kind of expect it. And oftentimes when you're serving on a deployed status, you have the opportunity to work with other services as well. They have something called a joint operations center where everybody's kind of intermingled. So you get those opportunities to work alongside other services, and the jabbing starts there anyways. So we
so you're used to it by the time you get back here.
It's a part of it, but it's one of those things where you may have a soldier and a Marine jabbing each other, but if somebody that's not in the service starts jabbing one of them, the other is going to support. So it's, yes, there's that kind of feistiness between them, but it's at the end of the day, it's all brotherhood. It's all fellowship.
It is. It's a fraternity that unless you've been there and done that, you know, none of us can understand, I would have to think.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. And thank God that there are those of you that do that. Mm-hmm. That are willing to do that. Dylan, have we had any questions or anything? I just want to make sure our viewers that we're covering everything properly.
We don't have anything yet.
Okay, very good. So what else could we talk about maybe with veteran services while you're here and that maybe folks don't know that the VA does?
Sure. There is quite an extensive list of things that people just don't know exist.
Yeah.
So... of course, clinical care, that's kind of what we're known for. And now the mental health services are getting out there. But how about something like vocational rehab? I need help getting a job. We have services that will help you with like resume writing and interview skills.
That's awesome.
And how do we interact with that workspace? So we have that service available. So we have nutrition and dietitians on staff that can help put you on a meal plan if you want to lose some weight. We have our MOVE program, which help you get up and get moving and also help live a healthier lifestyle. So we have those as well. It's if you can think of it, it probably exists kind of situation. But those are a few that definitely come to mind. Of course, you know, dental services and glasses and things of that nature. Oh, home-based telehealth. If you can't get to the VA on a regular basis.
One of the other good things that came out of COVID.
No kidding. We can... have you interact with a provider from home.
That's cool.
You talk with your primary care team. They can issue you a tablet, and you can do everything from the tablet, and you can get care essentially from your home.
Love that.
So we do that as well. It's a mixed bag. We do a little bit of everything.
Good, good. And the whole thing is to just get established or mm-hmm. go you know, speak with someone and see. Yeah. And again, if you have been denied in the past, hey, maybe it's your time.
Absolutely. That PACT Act expansion has been huge. It's the biggest expansion in VA legislation since the 80s. And essentially what that looks like is if you were deployed at any point, whether it be Vietnam era or Desert Storm or post-Gulf War, any deployment, if you think you may have been exposed to any kind of toxic airborne chemicals, you could be entitled to care.
Whoa.
For, I think it's 26 presumptive conditions. So everything from I served in Bahrain, there were active burn pits, and now I may have throat cancer, all the way down to hypertension, high blood pressure, and everything in between, you could be entitled for compensation and care.
Now, let me ask you this, because I am illiterate when it comes to talking about the military, other than I appreciate the heck out of you.
Hey, we appreciate that.
Does a deployment have to be, is it considered overseas, or can deployment be right here in the U.S.? You know, what qualifies deployment?
So it's tough. So typically you have two types of deployments. You have something called a CONUS deployment and an OCONUS deployment.
Okay.
CONUS would be continental U.S. OCONUS would be outside of continental U.S. So you do have both sides of it. A lot of those PACT Act benefits are going to be for OCONUS deployments, but you can also get on the registry for the crisis. What was it called? The Badwater, not Flint, but on the East Coast. And now it's escaping me. You see the commercials everywhere for it. So there are some services that are for continental United States issues as well. So, but a lot of those PACT Act benefits are going to be for your outside of the U.S. deployments.
Okay. Makes total sense. I just want to clear that up as well. I know, sure, if you're in the military, you totally understand that, but.
But it's also not just serving boots on
I'm
ground.
I'm learning.
So say, for instance, say you were in the Air Force and your job was to fly over these regions, but you weren't actually on the ground.
Okay.
You can still be entitled for benefits.
That makes sense.
Because you flew over.
What about family members? How does that work?
So it's not as inclusive as, say, USAA would be. But okay, if you have, say, a survivor. So if you served and you had since passed since your service, we have what's called survivor benefits for a spouse.
Okay.
That service is also offered. So say under the PACT Act, if your spouse passed through cancer and you think that might have been through toxic exposures and you're a survivor of that, okay, you could also see benefits from that.
Makes total sense. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, very good. All right. So let's once again, if you wouldn't mind, recap,
sure,
kind of, I mean, we kind of got off on a tangent, but I thought while you're here, let's talk about some of the,
absolutely,
services that the VA offers that people might not know about, and we're so happy that you're still around and that it's like thriving and growing. Mm-hmm. So, but let's get back to this mobile unit coming to Jackson County to Wellston every Monday.
Sure. So starting on October 2nd, a big grand opening at 10 a.m. We're going to be branching into Mondays and Tuesdays. Moving forward for the foreseeable future, our medical mobile unit coming to Wellston to serve Vinton and Jackson counties for primary care services, labs, immunizations, enrollment, eligibility, that sort of thing.
So awesome. And that starts this coming Monday. So how, again, do people, I know that you said you can walk in, but obviously appointments would be recommended.
Prefer, right.
Yes.
Yeah. We definitely prefer their appointments, but we're not going to turn anybody away. So you can make appointments to your PAC team. If you're already enrolled, you can call the VA directly. That number, 773-1141, is the VA number.
Okay.
Then extension 15575 is going to get you right to those schedulers.
And Dylan has put that up on the screen again, just in case you missed that number. And we will be happy to keep sharing that for you. And yeah, just get hooked up. Come.
Absolutely.
So about how long will the mobile unit be there throughout the day?
It's looking like 8 to 4:30, 8 to 5, somewhere in there.
So kind of a whole work day.
A whole work day.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, so not just like everybody has to squeeze in 2 hours or
no,
whatever.
We're not going to force you in on your lunch break or anything.
That
you're
is so
eating
cool.
a sandwich while in line. No, we're going to have it. We're going to have it there all day.
Well, very, very good. Well, you know, I think this is such a great thing. What a fun job you have to get to tell everybody this great news.
It's, you know, getting to like travel around and tell the VA story and communicate with our veterans and our communities. It's honestly a blast. I cannot do clinical work at all. I will never be a nurse or a provider or a doctor. That's just not my calling. But being able to speak and connect with our veterans and bring them to the VA, it's an absolute pleasure, and it's, for me, the best way I could serve.
That is so wonderful. Well, thank you for spending your morning with us. I know you're super busy.
No worries.
And I just keep blabbing.
No, that's what I'm here for.
Okay, well, very good. And so little sidebar, it's David Allen, not just Allen.
You're not just Allen, yeah.
Funny story about that. Would you say you're the what?
Sixth David Graves in a row.
David Graves in a row, so Allen it became.
Yep.
I can't say as I blame you.
I don't understand it, but I don't make those decisions. I'll leave that up to my mom. So.
That would get super confusing at the family reunion.
And there's two Davids. I have an uncle that's a David also, so it's a whole mess. It is a whole mess.
Well, at least if you can just say the name David, somebody's going to answer.
Oh, you'll get help from somewhere. That's for sure.
Well, Allen, we appreciate you so much for stopping by, and best of luck. If you have need anything or would like to come back and tell us, maybe if you expand your services or whatever,
sure,
please come back and see us.
Absolutely.
We would love that. All right, we'll let you get out of here. And Dylan, if you'll throw that weather forecast up, we'll go over that while Allen is getting out of here. And then we're going to come back and we're going to assess Dylan's flower situation and figure out what it is, what red flower it is, and what he is doing to kill it.
I'm going to vote mums.
You think?
I'm going to vote mums.
Okay. He said it's one of those flowers you buy mom on Mother's Day. It's red. I said, okay, that doesn't really help me out any.
Really narrowing it down for sure.
Really narrowing it down for sure. All right, let's get to that weather forecast because it is looking fairly good. Thank you so much. Come back and see us sometime. All right, looking pretty darn good. A little bit of rain in the forecast the next couple of days, but temperatures are very, very mild with highs today. Around 77 degrees, lows of 57. That 70% chance of rain is in the forecast. It hadn't rained on me yet this morning, so we'll see when it is supposed to do that. Tomorrow, once again, 70% chance of rain with highs around 73 and lows around 58. And then look at the weekend, folks. It's going to be absolutely perfect. Friday, your football Friday night, partly cloudy skies, highs of 78. Thank you so much. Be safe driving back to Chillicothe. And then Saturday and Sunday, look at that, some sunshine and highs of 81 degrees. I mean, and even the beginning of your work week next week looks exactly the same. Doesn't get much better than that. And we'll take every one of those days, right, Dylan?
Yep. Keep my plan alive.
So, are you a cold weather or a hot weather person? Like, what do you like?
I love the snow. I love going out and playing in the snow and all. But, like, after a few minutes, it just gets really cold. And, like, it just feels so exciting. Like, the world, like, everything around you is just so beautiful. And then a couple of days later, you're freezing and you just wish it would go away.
And it's ugly then at that point.
Yeah, but with the heat, it just makes me tired. So...
I get it.
I guess I'm not a weather person. I prefer to stay indoors.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. So, no, I am one. If it's going to be cold, I want like a foot of snow because it's like, if we're going to have to suffer through this, at least make it be pretty.
Yeah, it's like all the work without the benefits.
Yeah.
Like, might as well get the snow, go play in it. I love seeing my little dog run through it, you know? I'm sure you've seen that with your corgi puppy.
Yeah, well, we didn't get a lot of snow last year, so I was like kind of a little bit disappointed in that, so... We'll see how she does this year.
Yeah, they just kind of disappear.
Her legs are a bit longer, which for corgis it means they're that long and not that long.
So like barely double.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I think this weather is absolutely gorgeous, and we're so fortunate to have these couple of weeks in the fall, and of course the Apple Festival benefited from a gorgeous, gorgeous week. So that helped out a lot.
So one thing I'd like to say to any viewers listening, if you're here from the radio, appreciate you tuning in. We are not on the radio today.
Okay.
We had some technical difficulties. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I was everywhere trying to get it rolling. But yeah, we're not on the radio. So if you tuned in from the radio, thank you for watching.
That's exactly right. And sometimes when engineers or other folks come in and try to fix things, other things get unfixed.
Yeah, to fix things, you got to mess some things up, but eventually it gets fixed.
It will all get fixed eventually.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back on tomorrow.
It's kind of like my cell phone debacle.
Yeah, I mean, you got a better phone, but you have nothing on it now.
Well, I just want you to know, and I want to give a giant shout out to the folks over in Chillicothe at the Spectrum store. Because Jamie and I were kind of forced to switch over to Spectrum because of our business account and how it all works and ties together and everything. So here's the deal. They send you these new phones. We're switching from one service to another. And they send you this list of things to do, right? So you turn on this phone and you put it on Wi-Fi and then you turn off the Bluetooth and then you do this and then you do that. So I did what I thought was all the steps. So all that became of all of the steps was Jen having a phone that called. You could call and dial on this phone, and every other thing was on this phone.
Yeah, that's how I ended up too with my new phone.
So I went over to the Spectrum store yesterday, drove over to Chillicothe, and they could not have been more helpful and nice. And after they got done making fun of me just a little bit, it was all in good fun. They took the time to fix my phone and redid the whole situation. They were so patient with me. And then I said, oh, and here's my husband's. And I haven't started it yet. So here you go so that I don't mess it up too. And they did that too. Awesome. And they were so kind. And so now I am new phone and it all works.
Yep.
And I have a cute new case too. It has sunshine and waves on it.
That is a nice case. My case isn't so fancy. Isn't it pretty? Mine's just blue.
Yeah. Well, yours is good though, because it's a grippy it's case. It's
sturdy. Yes. I can't drop that thing.
Yeah.
Well, I have dropped that thing, but I shouldn't be able to.
I know. It's a whole thing when you drop it. Don't drop your phone. But if you do, be careful.
So when I went home yesterday, I did get a picture of that plant, trying to figure out what it is. And I mean, it's still holding up, but you'll kind of see what I mean here.
Oh, okay. So that is actually a tropical plant. So it is not going to fare well in the colder weather. Yeah. So you may just be kind of a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to put it on the yes. computer.
Yes. But... So that's one of those. They actually, well, I can't remember the name of it. If anybody knows, give us a shout out. But yes, it is a tropical plant, so it will not live through the cold weather. So,
yeah, you can kind of see it starting to like wilt down a little.
In your defense, it's okay. And in your defense, I've only had one of those my entire life, and I killed it in about 5 minutes.
I just keep watering it, and it stayed alive. But once the weather came around, it did not do well.
Well, it's because it's a tropical plant and it likes heat and humidity and all of that.
Yeah. And even if I put it indoors, I think it's still going to die. I don't think it has a chance.
I think you're probably correct about that, but I will give you kudos to the fact that you have, tried to keep her alive. Does she have a name?
No, it's just a flower.
Just a flower. Well, you can name her Flower then.
Okay. I'll name it of a flower named Flower.
Yeah. Very, very good. All right. So, well, we've established now that it's not going to survive. So no. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it does suck. But speaking of things that aren't so bright, a long time ago at this point, I mean, I guess it's like 4 months ago, but to me, it feels like a long time ago. Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty, he's not there. They kicked him out.
Wait, what?
So Rick and Morty has a writer that's also their voice actor. He voices both Rick and Morty.
Okay.
And they fired him.
What?
Yeah. Some legal problems.
Okay.
People don't like to get into it. But
oh, did he do something bad?
He did something bad.
Okay.
Well, he got charged like they said that all charges were dropped. So I don't know. But regardless, it's a topic Rick and Morty fans don't like.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But Rick and Morty fans are kind of split right now because there's a new voice actor for both Rick and Morty.
So one person for both or two people?
Two people.
One for each.
And that's kind of new because they're used to the same guy like basically just talking to himself.
So Rick and Morty fans are going crazy. Is still new? Like they still have new episodes coming out?
Yep, season 7 now.
Jeez.
But the fans are going crazy online. Some are like really excited because, you know, their show's not going to be shut down because they don't have a voice actor.
Yeah.
And some of them are kind of mad because it's a different guy. Two different guys.
Well, you're a big Rick and Morty fan, so what does that mean to you? Does it bother you that it's not the same dude?
I can't tell the difference, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, they're really good at it. Sounds like Rick, sounds like Morty.
There you go. Well, we finally have, you know, there were two major things going on in the country with strikes. One was the Actors Guild and the Writers Strike, which luckily has finally gotten resolved, at least the writer's strike. So they will be back to work, I know, in the next day or two, which is fantastic for everybody involved. Still have this auto workers strike going on, but hopefully that one gets resolved as well. But all the Rick and Morty madness probably didn't. This was a good time for all that to happen because they probably wouldn't have been making episodes anyway.
Yeah, well, apparently, like, the writer's strike is over, but the video game writer's strike has started.
Oh, so that's a new thing.
Yeah, the writers for video games, they want more money, man.
Is this about kind of the AI stuff as well, or is it just about money?
I think it's just about money. I think, like, with inflation going up, they have higher bills to pay now. And they saw it worked for the writers. So they were like, hey, we're writers and we need more pay too.
I mean, it's true. There's something to that.
Yeah.
Well, very good. I don't know. It's like you always hate to see strike situations just because it's just not good for anybody.
Yeah.
But
So one of the strikes I'll always remember, and I think about this when I hear strikes. Mm-hmm. When I was a little kid, I was a really big SpongeBob fan. Have you seen the SpongeBob Goes on Strike episode?
That would require me to have ever watched SpongeBob.
Yeah, well, SpongeBob, he wants more pay too. So he goes and gets a little sign and he goes out in front of the Krusty Krab and says, the Krusty Krab's unfair.
So what does SpongeBob do for a living?
I guess he cooks Krabby Patties.
At the Krusty Krab?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to know.
And he's gone on strike. But when I hear about strikes, that's one of the things I think of. Because when you're little, that's kind of what you absorb. And then as you get older, you just kind of reference that
you're
stuff.
You're trying to tie
head.
SpongeBob into like real life stuff.
Yeah.
That could get a little confusing.
It could. I don't think we breathe water.
No, I don't think so either. Sometimes it would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
All right. So what were you talking about a spider the other day?
Oh, yeah. So me and my friend were hanging out and I saw this spider and I was like, hey, that is like, it's a creepy looking spider. And then we realized this is a daddy long leg. And we started thinking, like, why in the world would someone call a spider a daddy long leg? Like, who looked at a spider and was like, yeah, that's a good name?
I don't know. Is a daddy long leg technically a spider? Or is it something else?
I mean, it looks like this.
Yep, that's a daddy long leg for sure.
Yep.
Or granddaddy long leg. I don't know which one is it.
Granddaddy long leg.
Yeah.
Huh. I hadn't heard that one, but that makes it even weirder.
Yeah.
Where'd the grand come into play?
I don't know. That's what I was always told. Let's Google it.
And like, are they going for like, this is a granddaddy as in like your granddad? Or are they saying this is grand?
I don't know.
This
that's
is
a good
grand
question.
Spider.
Daddy long legs. Spiders. Let's see.
Kind of makes me think about the roly polies too, like if that's actually their real name.
Ooh. Ooh. Are daddy long legs spiders or crabs? They are not spiders.
Oh.
They belong to a group with many different species called. Mrs. Richards, please, for the love of God, forgive me for butchering this. She would be very upset, my biology teacher. They belong to a group of many species called Opiliones.
Opiliones.
Yeah.
It's a weird name.
The common name daddy long legs likely came about because of their small oval body and long legs, and the name harvest man because they are most often seen in large numbers in the fall around harvest time. Huh.
Still doesn't really answer why it's granddaddy. Like long leg,
I
get.
I always heard granddaddy, but this says daddy long legs too. So I don't know.
Weird names.
So this article actually says it is a spider. So, well, I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
It's got to be one of the like the biggest things that none of us think about. Like, why in the world is it such a complicated species? And why is it called a daddy long leg?
And like, what is the point of one of those? Like, what do they do?
I guess maybe they kill like smaller bugs.
I don't know. Let's see if I can find real quick. Cause that's a good question. It's like one of those.
Cause like you think of names like that and you think nothing of it. You're just like, yeah, that's a funny name.
Yeah.
But then once you start to think about
and
it, you're like, why?
It's a funny looking creature.
Yeah.
It's got like these little wispy things. It's like a little round body and these little wispy things. Well, see, this is, okay, this is the Encyclopedia Britannica, so they can't be, you know, lying. They're often mistaken as spiders. However, unlike true spiders, in which the body is divided into two distinct segments, daddy long legs look as though they have only one segment because of a broad fusion that makes the juncture between the two segments indiscernible. Interesting.
Very interesting.
They're omnivorous, which means they feed on small insects, mites, spiders, snails, and vegetables. So they eat bugs.
What
other
a
bugs
weird diet!
And
snails and vegetables.
Yeah, and then this Opiliones thing comes up as well. So yeah, I don't. The slender legs break off easily and are sometimes sacrificed in a phenomenon known as leg autonomy, which may be used to escape a predator's grasp. The lost limb cannot be regenerated as it can in certain other insects, including some spiders. So I guess that means they can live if their leg gets like broken off or whatever, but it doesn't grow back.
Yeah, but they do that to get away from predators.
Other predators, yeah.
It's like they grab it like, yeah, you can keep that, man. I don't need it.
Yeah, like I've got a whole lot of other ones. I don't know how many legs they have, but there's a lot.
There is a lot. I mean, in this photo I got here, there's like a lot of them. I'll go ahead and show this. I mean, if anyone doesn't know what a daddy long leg looks like.
I have to think that everybody knows what a daddy long leg is. But let's see. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at least legs, probably... 8. How many legs do spiders have? 8?
I bet they
have 8. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go.
I just thought that was weird. Weird name, weird creature.
Yes, they are weird creatures. Have you ever seen those like walking stick things? They look like sticks, but they're bugs.
I don't think so. Are you talking about the stick bug? Like the one that's like, it just looks like a stick, but if you grab it, it's actually a bug and it kind of freaks you out.
Yeah.
That happened to me when I was a little kid.
Did it?
Traumatized.
I bet. Yeah. Ooh. Bugs are creepy.
They're weird.
So do spiders creep you out?
They do. Like all of them little weird bugs freak me out because like they just come out of nowhere. You'll just be sitting on your porch and you look over and you're like, what in the heck is that?
I know. Where did it come from? And this is the thing too, those jumpy spiders, the ones that jump at you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I can't. And I don't like to kill God's creatures, so it's just really rough.
So I realized something more recently. So the school year, they're like probably almost a quarter of the way through. We're like closer to a quarter.
Okay.
And I started thinking, I've been graduated for a good minute now and doing college and everything. And around this time last year, I was actually preparing for Kid Kringle. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I looked at the Marques page and they got their own new thing coming up. Elf Junior the Musical.
So another kid play and whatever. Elf Junior, how cute.
The musical.
Elf is one of my favorites.
I love the Elf movie. I've never seen the little animated musical version, but this will be my first time seeing it, and I'll get to see it at the Marquee.
And just think, you get to not have to be all stressed out about it. You can just go as a as a spectator.
Yeah.
Because you actually directed that entire thing.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of help from Cynthia.
Yeah,
but I was the director, so I didn't really get to like go up on stage and sing and dance, but that's not really my thing either. I couldn't really see myself running around singing about candy canes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I can't see you doing that either.
Probably not. I can't see that.
Yeah, no.
But we're going to see these kids do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely cool. And so this was really neat when you did Kid Kringle last year. Number one, Cindy actually kind of wrote that play and musical, so it was an original, but it was all kid done.
Yep, we had kid crew, kid actors. It was completely done by youth. That's why that was the youth production.
Yeah, very
which
cool.
It was a little stressful though, it all being youth.
Like herding cats to get them going in the right direction. So will this one be the same way then? Is it all kid run?
I'm not entirely sure. I think so. I know it's being directed by Jules, who is also doing Misery right now.
Yes. We need to get Jules in here to talk about Misery.
We should.
When is that coming up?
Let me take a look here. October 14th.
Okay, so it's coming up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so Misery, we've all seen the Stephen King. We've all suffered through the Stephen King movie because, have you seen it?
No.
It's intense, man. Real intense. So the Apple City Players are actually putting on Misery, and I guess it's a pretty dark rendition of it. So something completely different than what they normally do, which is comedies. So this will be very, very fun to see, directed by our good friend Jules Stewart, and many, many talented actors in there as well. It'll be a good time. That'll be a couple weeks from now.
Yep. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Check it out.
Check it out. And then also, before that, though, the Foothills Arts Festival is going on. So that will be coming up pretty soon as well.
Yeah. And I don't know a lot about it, but I'm excited to hear about it.
Have you been there?
Mm-mm.
You haven't?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. Dylan. So the cool thing is, the Foothills Arts Festival for many, many years is brought on by the Southern Hills Arts Council. Started many, many, many years ago, but it was always held out at Canner's Cave. They've since moved it in town to the park's edge, make it a little bit more convenient for people when they're driving. Although Canner's Cave is absolutely spectacular this time of the year with the leaves changing and all that. So it was always kind of a fun drive out there because it was beautiful, but a little more convenient for everybody here in town. But yeah, it's an art show full of many, many pieces by local artists, which could be anything from jewelry to sculpture to paint to photography, drawing. I mean, all of that. And people come from all over to enter, and they have hundreds of pieces. It's super cool.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it is. Very cool. So there you go. And that will be coming up next weekend, actually, here in Jackson. And I think it kicks off on the Thursday evening for kind of a kickoff gala deal. And then it will be open to the public Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe. So there you go. All right. Well, we got to get out of here, Dylan.
Yep.
All right. Want to thank our good friend, Alan, David Allen.
David Allen. I do like that name.
Just David Allen. It flows, doesn't it?
It does.
So, but he goes by Alan Graves for coming in from the VA and talking about the new mobile unit that will be coming to Wellston every Monday from here on out to do, you know, basic services for our veterans. And I think that's amazing.
It really is.
It is. All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. We appreciate you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you then. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.